Hey, it must be 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Welcome to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. My name's Jack Mancini. I'm a business coach, and I'm here with my long-term business coach partner, Adam Sunhalter. We keep saying 15 years we've been together, but it's probably longer. We've been saying it so long, it's probably 17. I don't know, but it's a long time. And tonight, well, what we do, first of all, the show is built around our coaching, our business coaching experiences. And Adam and I have been doing this, as I say, for over 15 years. And we deal with small businesses defined as 25 employees or less, or all the way down to one. And it can be in any industry. It makes no difference. We've done hundreds, literally hundreds of small business coaching gigs, and we've been on a track of success for many, many years now. But tonight, what we do, we take from the annals of our coaching experiences, and we carve a subject out for the evening. And the subject tonight is going to be when and how to negotiate. In other words, you, the business owner, you could be a bakery, a manufacturing company, a distribution company, I don't care what you are. You go through a daily basis with your business and negotiate in ways that you probably aren't even thinking you're negotiating. So we're going to talk about negotiation tonight, when and how to do it. And we have a lot of fun with negotiation, and we have a lot of fun teaching our clients how to negotiate. They often say when we start to discuss this subject with them, you mean I can negotiate that? I can negotiate this? Absolutely you can. You can negotiate everything, everything you do, buying services, dealing with people, dealing with so much. We'll get into it tonight. But well, before we do that, I'd like to introduce my longstanding business partner, Mr. Adam Sunhalter.
Thanks, Jack. Good to be here. Good to have everybody here with us. Appreciate you joining us. If you're a loyal listener, welcome back. Good to have you again. If you're new, what took you so long? Glad you found us. We've been doing this show for probably about 3 years now and have 120, 130 podcasts out there. So we got all kinds of stuff that's out there. And we talk about a lot of these things, as you said, Jack, that are things that we see day in and day out. We know they're opportunities or challenges or struggles that small business owners go through. We're here to share and shed some light on those things. And you know, it's hard to do justice with certain topics in an hour, and we do our best. And negotiation is probably one of those, Jack. So I think we'll hit on tonight some of the different areas where you can negotiate, and we'll give them some tips about how to go about doing that. But there's by no means can we cover it all in an hour. But certainly you'll be able to learn something and get some good nuggets out of tonight's show. And maybe before we get into that, let me just let you know how you can be part of the show. If you're curious to be part of the show, if you have some suggestions you want to share or stories of your own or other questions you might have, you can call us at 440-946-9468. That number also works for texts. So 440-946-9468 works both ways. You can email us at radio@maximumvp.com or you can tweet at us at MaximumVP for our company, for at JackMMVP for Jack Mancini, or at Adam Sunhalter for myself. So, yeah, as Jack was saying, negotiation, how and when. And, we talked over the years a lot about this, Jack, and you're very fond of saying that a day should not go by where you don't negotiate something.
That is correct, though.
And it doesn't have to be the biggest thing. It could be little things. And it could be in your personal life. It could be in your business life. It could be, you know, somewhere else. But there are opportunities abound for this, you know. And if we keep it real simple, real quick, from a personal standpoint, for anybody who has kids, especially when you had young kids, don't tell me you didn't negotiate numerous times during the course of the day, whether it be negotiating bedtime or what they're going to eat, or you know, just you know, when they're very, very young, as they get a little older, about what they're allowed to do, who they're allowed to you know, to go out with, if they're allowed to drive or not. You know, again, there's a nonstop negotiating. Now, you may call it something else. You may call it disagreements, misunderstandings, putting your foot down, whatever you might call it. But at the end of the day, in its essence, it's really a negotiation.
That's right.
And
doing it every day, I picked that tip up from a master negotiator many decades ago, a guy named Roger Dawson. Every day he would negotiate something. And he tells a story about traveling into San Francisco and he forgot or didn't have the opportunity to negotiate that day. And here it is, you know, 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. And his last attempt to negotiate would be the desk when he got in.
Oh, to his hotel?
Of the hotel. Okay. Yeah, it's not the desk sitting out in the
That's a tough negotiator.
Parking
lot. It's just, the desk is just staring at me, Jack.
That's right. Who put that desk out in the driveway?
That's right.
So he checked into his hotel and he said, okay, what can I get here? And he said to the, you know, he got his room and it was assigned and he said, wait a minute. He said, you know, what I would like is an upgrade. And the clerk said, well, I'm sorry, sir, that'll cost you. He said, no, I'd like an upgrade with at no cost. Well, he said, why should I do that? And he gave him a reason that he should give him an upgrade. And he spent 10 minutes negotiating at the desk after he checked in. The guy reassigned the room. He had a basket of fruit set up. He had all these kinds of things that came to his room that he negotiated. And that's the essence of what he says to practice. And the reason he wants you to practice that, excuse me, is to learn how to feel your body when you're negotiating. And feel the biochemistry, because it can be significant, especially if the stakes are high. You don't want to walk into a situation with high stakes and that be the first time you negotiate. Whereas if you're negotiating something, even if it's small, like what he got, even smaller, like go into a bakery and get a pastry and try and negotiate another pastry. People might be standing around. So what? You got to get used to that attention. You got to get used to that feeling. And you'll surprise yourself in terms of what you can get for little. But what you're doing is really building up your negotiating muscle, so to speak.
It's a good way to think about it. It's working anything else out. And I got kind of distracted. You talk about kind of feeling your body so our audience can see us. Touching
rather,
myself, right?
Rather yeah. Mine than yours, so that's a good thing.
So, yeah, it's that internal chemistry, the biochemistry you're talking about, the Jack, here, which is, yeah, you're going to feel that rush of adrenaline. You're going to feel that stitch in your gut. You're going to feel maybe your face getting a little bit red as the blood kind of flow. You know, all the things that kind of happen the first time going through. So being very, very super hypersensitive to that, right, and knowing what to expect. And it's like anything else. When you know what to expect, you start to learn how to deal with it. And that's very, very good guidance, Jack. Well, you know, in terms of overall, these little things help to sharpen your skills. And
yeah,
so,
be conscious of it. That's the key. Be conscious of it because it works.
Yeah, so there are lots of places to do it when it comes to business. Now, some are more, I would say, more obvious than others, Jack. But they're really all over the place. So one really simple place to think about and start with is, how about your vendors? All right, everybody talks about vendors. That's, you know, a lot of big companies are very famous for beating up on their vendors and pushing them. And I wouldn't say it's, I don't know if I'd even call it negotiations, Jack. You got these big corporations that come down and they almost just dictate stuff, right? Whether
they
it be
pound you. Well, if you're, again, no situation is impossible to negotiate. Everyone is. So even big corporations come swooping down. Now, not that the big corporations are easy. Some negotiations are very difficult, and you aren't going to get much. But if you're persistent and creative, and those are two interesting words. Not a lot of people really practice persistence that's the other word.
Creativity, yeah.
Thank you.
Sure.
So, yes, everything's negotiable. Everything.
So from a vendor standpoint, let me kind of share a couple stories here. So everybody who's a vendor to you, so what does that mean? So for those of you who are a little more financially oriented, and even for those of you who aren't, get a copy of your profit and loss statement, your income statement, your P&L, whatever you call it. That's, again, if you can't print it out or don't know what it is, ask your bookkeeper, ask your CPA to give you a copy. Get the detailed copy of it with all the chart of accounts, with all the expenses that are laid out there. So everything from the cleaning company to the folks who are supplying your uniforms to the folks who are supplying your internet, your power, to the IRS and everybody in between, to your landlord, all the folks that you're paying money to as part of your business. Those are all folks who are vendors in your business. And to Jack's point earlier, these are all folks that you can yes, you can talk to them and negotiate.
And no, a lot of people, Adam, will say that they feel cheap when they try to tack on something that has minor value. That's silly. You're practicing a skill. You're practicing and honing a skill for when there are bigger stakes, you know, that are involved. And I don't mean Omaha stakes. I'm talking stakes that basically will have some easily calculated monetary value.
So if
you never get involved in anything big, then you don't have to learn negotiating skills.
No, it's even little stuff though. It's funny. I'm sure for our more loyal listeners, Jack, they can probably tell when we have or haven't eaten dinner before the show. And you start bringing up food this early in the show, that's because you're probably hungry. You're talking about steaks now, and all of a sudden, I know where your mind's going to be thinking about that nice juicy steak for the next hour. But that's all right. So maybe we'll have our audience salivating as well, thinking about all those good things, Jack.
Okay, that sounds fair enough. Who's around here that I can negotiate with? There he is, a guy with a hat in the next room.
So
have him go out and get a couple of McDonald's hamburgers.
So the vendors are a key piece of where you can look to negotiate. So we're heading up against a break here. So you have a few minutes to be able to go get a copy of your P&L, your profit and loss statement, your income statement. Get it in front of you. So as we're talking through this, you can have some ideas about who you might want to be able to negotiate with. And when we come back from break, I want to share a story with you about a client of ours as we came into, who had a significant amount of money that was owed to a lot of different vendors. And we helped this owner negotiate almost $250,000 of stuff that was owed and paid off only a fraction of that. So we got some good stories in terms of how that happened. Stay tuned. We'll tell you more about that. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
And I'm Jack Mancini. And we look forward to more Dirty Secrets of Small Business.
That's right. We got more Dirty Secrets coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com. All right. We're back here on Dirty Secrets of Small Business. Appreciate you joining us for this evening's show. We're talking about some negotiation stuff. I'm your co-host, Adam Sunhalter. And I got my co-host over there, Jack.
The other co-host.
Say hello, Jack.
Hello, Jack.
There we go. And as we're heading out to break, Jack, we're talking about some framing of the negotiations and start talking about some of the things that you can start to negotiate in business. And you made a good point. The theme of the first segment was to negotiate every day. Find a place and a way to negotiate every day. And we're talking about now is in terms of giving some examples of where that might make sense. We gave you a little task during the break to go and get your P&L, your profit and loss statement, your income statement, and take a look. You get the detailed one. You can see all your vendors, all the folks you're paying money to. So don't look at the income or the sales line in terms of the revenue, the money coming in. We'll look at the money going out. All of your expenses, your cost of goods sold, your other expenses that are there. Take a look at those. Those are the folks we're talking about and we want you thinking about when it comes to vendors. So I was teasing on the way out the break, Jack, about a client of ours that we got involved with, where it was a second generation company. It was taken over by the new owner, and they had a sense of how the company was doing because they obviously had worked in the company, but they didn't have a real clear picture of how troubled things were. And once they took over, they noticed they had about $250,000 in debt. Everybody from the IRS to their landlord, to their CPA, to the insurance company, you name it, just about every vendor on their list was owed money. And again, the way this happened was that, you know, that there was a death of the owner and the kids took over. So as often the case with a smaller company, especially, there's often personal relationships that exist. So when you have a tragedy like that, where you have a sudden death of somebody, often folks in business, when it comes to small business, can be a little more friendly, Jack. You know, that's part of what people, I think, like about small business or family business. You tend to have a heart, where the big corporations often don't have the wherewithal or the flexibility to have that kind of a heart. So many of these vendors kind of stayed in the back for a little while, you know, let things kind of settle down, and they were biding their time. It wasn't like all of a sudden, hey, you got the death certificate one day, and then you get, you know, demand letters or lawsuits the next day. But after about, you know, 6 months, 9 months, a year of this going on, they had people starting to kind of get a little itchy, right? Hey, what's going on? So it was a prime situation to go negotiate, right? Because here we had vendors who, many of whom had been owed money for several months or even, you know, over a year at this point. And so what happens with that case, right, is, you know, those vendors are thinking, hey, am I going to get anything for this? Hey, if Jack owes me 10 grand and, you know, all of a sudden I haven't seen anything for a year, well, chances are I'm not feeling so hot about that 10 grand. In fact, I may have written off half of that, where I'm thinking maybe I'll get half that money at some point. Maybe I'll get none of it. Who knows? I mean, I've tried all the things I can try. I don't want to sue, you know, I don't want to sue them because, again, it's a tough family situation. I'm just going to kind of sit here and hope and pray. So, you have to understand the mentality of those vendors. Where are they at? And so if you're going to offer them half of what you owe them, well, that's found money to them to a certain extent, right? That was the case here where, as we're going through, and again, everybody, including the IRS, and that's, you know, as Jack said in the opening of the show tonight about people coming back to us saying, hey, can I really negotiate that? Am I allowed to do that? And we hear those kind of things.
Totally astonished. You know, we have such a, so many people have such a mythical idea of credit and how it works. The United States versus a lot of foreign countries, many of them, it's just normal to negotiate everything. And here we don't. We accept the price. It's key to try. Well, I'll keep reinforcing this. It's key to negotiate regularly, even in like a department store, if they still have any of those anymore. You know, you may not win all the time, but you got to get used to trying. And like anything, the more you practice, the better your skills are. And when the stakes are bigger, you're going to produce.
So in the case where you have some vendors like we're talking about here, Jack, where they've been owed money for a while, that's one situation, right? I mean, again, that's somebody who you've already utilized their products or services, and now you owe them money. And so the way you negotiate and approach that might be a little different versus maybe when you're first starting a relationship with the vendor. Everybody feels good. They're excited because you're a new potential customer for them. You're excited because maybe they're replacing a vendor that you've had some trouble with, whatever it might be. But usually it's a very, in terms of the curve being high or low, it's a pretty high feeling. Everybody feels pretty good typically, right? And so most people don't necessarily negotiate too hard at that point, right? Or they don't necessarily do it well. They'll just accept the terms as they are. That's a great time to start to kind of negotiate stuff and to be able to, and what's important to you. So it isn't always about price. You know, price is one thing you can negotiate. You can negotiate terms. Hey, if normally, you know, they say, you know, normally our terms are 5, 10, 15 days. Well, maybe your terms are normally you want to pay in 30 days or 60 days. So you can negotiate when you pay them.
You know, that's right. If you don't ask, you aren't going to get anything, that's for sure. And always be cognizant of the person you're negotiating with. You know, try to make this a win-win deal where you can give them something, or certainly puff up what it is you're sitting in front of them talking about right now. You know, in terms of, you know, make yourself more valuable to them. That's where the best advantage comes from. And it depends on the circumstances. But you should always strive to get something. That's great practice. And yeah, you're not cheap for doing it. As they like to say, that's business.
Well, it's good guidance, Jack, in terms of the whole win-win idea, which is, you want to look at what are the key pieces. So again, I threw out a few here, you know, about price, you know, terms, maybe different service levels. You know, you sort of can go through maybe there's three or four or five things that are kind of key components. And out of those, you know, let's say those four or five things, maybe one is really a key thing for you, but another one's a key thing for that vendor.
That's right.
So to your point, Jack, hey, why don't you, you know, it's a little, hey, if I can get my key point, let me give you your key point.
That's right. Let me enhance this. Yeah, we can come to some compromise, common ground here. That's what a negotiation is. Throw me a couple of extra inventory items here. Count out a bag of donuts where I got food on the mind.
See, I thought.
Give me an extra donut in my bag. Yeah, I mean, silly
stuff.
Tell
Sean to open the door here. Throw some raw steak in here, Jack. It'd be good.
That's right. Snarl, bang. That's right.
So the vendors are, you know, and not all vendors are going to negotiate with you. Yeah, again, but the fact that you're trying to do so, that's where we want to get those engines started. So our experience, you know, has shown that, you know, I'd say way less than 10% of the people are in this mindset, probably closer to 5% or less are in this mindset to negotiate all the time. And they're often the folks who are getting all the stuff, Jack. You know, you're touching some of the biochemistry earlier in terms of whether they, you know, they're in a crowded space and all of a sudden they're the center of attention because they're, you know, they're holding things up, right? And because they're trying to negotiate some little thing or appearance of being nitpicky or cheap or whatever it might be. All that stuff is just noise.
Get
right?
your way. That's right. Get your way. Turn around. Look at the assembling crowd here that you're creating and have a nice smile on your face as you walk out. That's true justice.
So let me give a homework assignment to our listeners here, Jack. As you're going through that list, again, you're here you are looking at your P&L. You have all your vendors listed there, all the expenses you've got. I want you to circle one of those. Circle one of those vendors that you're going to go talk to here in the next week and negotiate something with their deal in terms of what you have with them. Again, could be the price, could be the terms, could be, you know, your line of credit with them, whatever it might be. If you have a certain service level you're looking for, if you're somebody within the company you want to service your account, whatever it might be, figure out what you want to go negotiate with them.
It's a good idea.
All right,
Adam.
So
that's
pick
good,
one. Just
good
pick,
homework
pick,
assignment.
Pick one to start with. All right. All right. So vendors, that's more of an obvious one, probably, Jack. I'm going to guess. You know, if we threw that out there, we asked people, you know, who could you negotiate with? You know, vendors is probably one of the more obvious ones. One that may be a little bit less obvious is hiring. Now, the hiring thing. Let me frame this. You know, we got a couple minutes here before our next break. Let me frame this, and we'll get into it a little bit more after the break, Jack. We're very good about trying to be creative. You mentioned that as one of your words earlier, Jack, about trying to be creative. One of the challenges we see in small companies is finding good people and getting good people to come work because there are a lot of attractive things are working for a small private company that you don't have with a big corporation. And so to be able to find folks who are coming in, and often what happens is if somebody's going to go from a big corporate job to work for a small company, there's often a gap in terms of compensation. Big corporations have bigger treasure chests, bigger pocketbooks, so they can pay people a little bit more. And maybe a combination of salary or benefits or, you know, that car or cell phone, whatever it might be, they have a bunch of stuff that they can offer. And that often just stifles things and almost stops it from the beginning. Well, we contend that doesn't have to be the case. If you have good people care about a lot of different things when it comes to their work environment. And obviously compensation, which includes their salary, but also includes bonuses and perks and other benefits, that's part of it. But there are other things that are part of it too. And so if you have that negotiating mindset, you'd be amazed at how many good people you can kind of bring in as part of this. So I want to give some thought to that. When we come back and break on, share with you a couple stories about some clients of ours who have done some great jobs of hiring folks by being a little bit creative and getting some good people on board. Stay tuned for that. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
And I'm Jack Mancini. We're business coaches with Maximum Value Partners.
Stay right there. We've got some more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, wintradio.com. Hey, welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
And I'm Jack Mancini, and we are here on Dirty Secrets of Small Business.
And we're talking about negotiations tonight. We're halfway through already. Like I said at the opening, Jack, it's hard to cover topics in an hour, but we do our best to dig in and share some good stuff. So we've talked about some different mindsets and ways to approach to look at trying to negotiate something every day, whether it be in your personal life or your business life. We've talked about the idea of looking for win-wins. We talked about areas where you can start to negotiate, including vendors. And we teased up before the break about another one that may be not so obvious where you can negotiate, which is in hiring. Especially when it comes to a small business, to be able to hire folks and to be comfortable to be able to negotiate, which comes back to also being able to tell your story and to be able to present what you're going to do and to be able to get the value that you need. So when it comes to good people, we've had shows about this too, Jack, where we're talking about good people, what makes good people. And good people have tremendous positive impacts on the organization. And that's true whether that person comes in part-time, full-time, contract basis, you know, who knows? But if you have a good, if you have, the more good people you have that are involved with your organization, the more positive things are going to happen. So as we're heading to break, I said often what can keep owners of small companies from trying to seek out and try to attract some of these good people is the price tag, or the perceived price tag, and the gap that maybe exists from where they are with a bigger corporation versus what their small company can afford. We've got a number of clients of ours that have been very creative with that. And so, yeah, a client of ours we've helped grow quite a bit. They've pretty much doubled the company here in the last 5 years and getting to the point now where they've gone from about 7 people to about 16 or 17 people, and they have a need for some management. They need more of kind of a general manager. And they've been kind of trying stuff out, and over the last couple of years, they've been trying some different people out that they've gotten to meet, and they've been doing it more on a part-time basis. So as opposed to hiring a full-time general manager, they don't necessarily need the full-time yet, at least when they first started bringing this person on board. So they were able to find somebody who could spend a couple days a week there, and being somewhat flexible, but with a couple days a week of a good person's time, boy, a couple days a week of a good person's time is probably almost as good or better than a full-time person.
That's
not so
exactly
good.
Right. That's right. And how did that happen, Adam? Well, how did they happen to get that good people, good person, working a couple of days a week instead of him coming in looking for a job in the standard way with their resume and blah, 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 everyone falling asleep at the table?
Right.
You know, how do we get that? How do we get to that point?
So I talk about being creative from the outset. Say, hey, we don't necessarily need somebody full time, but here's kind of what we need. Here are the kind of skills and background we'd like to be able to see from somebody. Here's what we'd like that person to be doing. And the first person they brought in didn't quite work out. Person was there for about 4 months, didn't quite work out. They're there on a part time basis. Did some good things, but not quite the fit for the long term. And it's okay because they went in with the idea, hey, let's do a little test run here for the next 3 to 6 months and see how it goes. Let's see how this works for you. Let's see how it works for us. Because again, like anything else, when things work well, it's got to be a good partnership. It's got to be good balance. It's got to be good positive feelings on both sides. And so that first person didn't quite work out so well. And so they had another person that they had in mind too, who they had talked to. And that person became available shortly after they parted ways with the prior person. And so, again, but this person wasn't looking for full-time employment. But at that point, our client was maybe hoping to get him for full-time employment. So there was a negotiation. Well, look, it isn't going to be all or nothing. Again, if we can get this guy for a couple days a week of him is better than none of him. And in the case of the second guy here, he happened to be a proven commodity, somebody that the owners had known for a while. And they'd known more personally versus professionally, but again, had known for a while, and so that kind of brought some little bit of pause, you know, as we often talk about here on the show, Jack. Bringing in friends and family and folks who are close to you and bring them into the business is always something that you want to pause on before you jump right into it.
PAWS.
That's right. That's right. Like the little doggies putting paw prints.
Oh, wait, what happens though? Peach. People with a HR background. HR background. They'll discourage those kinds of creative thrusts because that person would be overqualified. Mm. And if we were to hire them, they'd leave probably after several months. So we take this tack with overqualified people. Overqualified people will generally add value quickly. 3 to 4 months of an overqualified person will, like you said earlier, you know, be the equivalent of a full-time, 2 full-time people. And it's important. That's, you know, what does negotiation look like? It means somebody is starting the discussion with, here's our rules, here's our price, here's our pretty much rules and price and procedures. So that's how it starts. One side starts, the other side counters, or the other side just says, yeah, I'll take it without saying anything. And what we're advocating is that you can negotiate something, even if it's small, on just about any situation. And it's not only beneficial to whoever's negotiating for a learning experience, it's fun. And it's obviously going to add something to the company.
Another client, when it comes to the hiring process, Jack, where we've talked for a little while about trying to bring somebody on more as a heavy administrator, you know, kind of a controller type person.
300-pounder?
Yeah, I guess that could work. Okay. No. heavy from an experience standpoint. More what the fancy pants folks might call like a C-level type executive, right?
Right.
Somebody's a little more seasoned, got some experience, may have a little gray hair, but you know, somebody's got 20-plus years of experience, good relevant experience, can spook people, right? But we often have to talk to our clients. When you don't have somebody coming in who is either selling your stuff or producing stuff that you're going to sell, so they're coming in really more in that support administrative area. People often have trouble pulling the trigger on that because, hey, I can't see how this person's going to add value to the company.
Right.
It's a cost. And what they really mean, Jack, is that, it's less money I'm taking home because it's reducing my profit. They aren't adding anything, right?
It's looking at things so small. That's why so many companies, small companies, fail or just never grow. The owners kind of stifle the growth with that mentality. And they don't take a chance. They don't even practice it. Well, they don't know. I mean, nobody ever tells them that.
So part of this process, we'll often get involved when it comes to more serious seasoned hires like this or the heavy folks coming in, Jack. We like the big folks coming in. But when it comes to the experience like this, when it comes to administration, somebody with a financial background, given our backgrounds, it's hard for Jack and I to explain to our clients all that they need to know. So it's good to have us involved. So in this particular case, we went through the, posting for the position, screening resumes, talking to people. After our clients, they went through this process, and they highlighted about three or four people that they narrowed it down. So these three or four are pretty good. Jack and I interviewed all three or four of those people, and one really stood out as we thought was just given the person's background, where they were, it seemed like a perfect fit for our client. The challenge was part of what the client, as they were planning this out, what they had laid out for what they wanted to pay in a salary versus what this person was currently receiving in a salary. There's a pretty significant, about a 25% gap in pay. So, all the emotions kind of go through. Hey, boy, Jack, I'd really love to bring you on board, but I almost feel like I don't want to offend you by offering you something that's less, like it's going to be a step down from what you're already doing. All these emotions start to kind of come in that can often, again, stymie or just squelch things before they kind of get started. So we gave him some guidance in terms of, hey, let's not just focus on that. Let's focus on, here's what you can afford, but talk about other things. Talk about potential for bonuses, other incentive plans that are there. The fact that actually this person had a hobby of doing what this company did. So from this person's standpoint, they're saying, hey, this is something that I really like. It's because they'd been working at companies that they didn't necessarily identify with the product or service before. Now, all of a sudden, this person, hey, I really love what you guys are doing. This is so cool to me, right?
He was really excited. That's right.
So when they got together and they were able to have a negotiation here where it worked out well, where this very seasoned, very polished, very good executive took a pay cut to come work for a client of ours. Because of other things that were going on, and said, okay, but that's part of the package, but there's a bunch of other things that are here that you can do. And about 18 months into this thing, and this has been a fantastic, fantastic relationship in many ways, in terms of not only has this person been able to do exactly what we hoped this person could do in terms of the skills and the background, so they weren't pretending to be something that they weren't. They're actually what they showed to be.
That's and pretty unique, But you're right, Adam. That's right.
They've been
very open and honest.
Yeah, been able to add all sorts of value to the company, been able to save money, get money back, all kinds of great things where this person's paid for themselves numerous times over. This person also loves being there because, again, the environment is such. Also having a great relationship with the owners is key too. So there's a lot of good things that are there where they were, again, being creative, looking at ways to kind of tell a story and talk about things to where it was going to be very attractive for everybody. Again, come back to the whole win-win situation again, Jack, and it worked out very, very well. And they've got a great person on board now to be able to kind of grow around and be able to now leapfrog to the next level beyond that, which has been fantastic. So hiring
is very exciting. Something like that is very exciting. It can be done way, way more than it is. Just restructure everything, throw the HR book out, and basically see what that person needs. And again, be honest and forthright. And if they're coming back the same way, you just never know. But you got to act and execute and ask in advance.
All right.
And offer.
we're up against our last break here, Jack. So we got a couple more areas I want to highlight in our last segment about how and when in terms of when you can negotiate. A couple are a little more obvious, but one not so much. So stay tuned. We'll tell you more about how and when you can negotiate as part of your business. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
I'm Jack Mancini.
Stick around. We got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTRadio.com. All right, welcome back for the last segment here at Dirty Secrets of Small Business tonight. We're talking about negotiations, how and when to do it, and it's part of your business. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
And I'm Jack Mancini, and we have a whole bunch of stuff that we're never going to be able to get to, at least tonight, in terms of negotiating situations, negotiating tips, when to negotiate, why you aren't negotiating, why you should negotiate, all those things, and we aren't going to be able to cover them. So we'll have this in another episode for sure.
All right, but I want to touch on, let me throw out a couple of areas. Let me just do one at a time here, Jack.
I'm going to say one at a time. You want to throw them out and then come back and do them one at a time.
Well, because I think the one I want to delve into is the one I think people get spooked by the most, and that's customers.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that's, people get afraid of their customers sometimes, Jack.
I know. They're afraid if they ask anything outside of what was just laid out, they're going to lose the customer.
Right.
It's not how the world works.
So negotiating with customers can come in different forms and fashions. So let me give one simple example. We had a client of ours that wanted buying a company, and as they're getting to know what's going on with the company, they realize that there were quite a few not-so-good deals as part of what the prior owner had negotiated. And unfortunately, one of the biggest customers that represented probably about a third of the business was one of these not-so-good deals, And so, as you look at that as the owner, you take a big gulp down and say, okay, wait a minute. Am I going to fire this customer, Jack? Should I do that? Because, man, I've heard all these stats, Jack. It's six times more expensive to go find a new customer than keep a current customer or something. People always try to spook you out of doing anything to perhaps upset or push away your current customers. It's a bunch of BS, isn't it, Jack?
Yep, sure is. It's not how it's done.
So, in this case, we're talking to our client about it, and while the deal looked like a sweetheart deal from his customer standpoint, for our client, it was an awful deal, losing money with this person, right? And, okay, just because that's the deal for the past 10 years from the prior owner doesn't mean it's necessarily the right deal here. So it took us a little while to kind of get our client girded up. Is that the right term to use, Jack? Steel rods in the back to kind of get him, okay, here, time to go.
Petrified. Yeah, totally petrified. But, why go into business and lose money? Why would you want to do that? Isn't that a simple question, all you business owners out there? But yet, so many people are doing it, and I could never figure that out. All I can say is, why do that? You can change horses here and do something else and have it more enjoyable, and you can still lose money if you want to, but you don't have to. But yes, that's a big part of it.
So take a hard look at your customers. Now that you've had a chance to kind of print off your P&L, I give you one assignment in segment two, which is to go look through your P&L and all your vendors in your P&L and circle one to go negotiate with there in the next week. The second homework assignment from tonight is I want you to go through your customer list. So you probably won't see that in your P&L. Most likely that's not detailed there. But you probably have a customer list you can print off in your QuickBooks or accounting file of who your customers are. And print that off and start to spend some time with that. Because one of the things we spend a lot of time with our clients on is helping them understand what exactly is a good customer or good client for you.
One who gives me good sales. Right?
Well, yeah, it, depending how you look at it, right? If somebody gives you a lot of volume, right, and volume can be defined in different ways. But if they're a big customer from that standpoint, right, they're taking a lot of our time and effort and space or supply, whatever it might be, is that by definition a good customer? Well,
sure.
No, it's not.
I thought it was.
It's not, Jack. Come on.
I thought it was.
They got to be profitable for you. And now there's ways that can be creative.
My accountant told me I made a profit last year.
Well, you may have made more of a profit by getting rid of some of these folks. You know, you see stories all over the place. I know this is something that, you know, you shared some stories here on the air, Jack, too, and even with companies that you had bought in the past where you shrunk things down.
Right.
Well, you shrink down the top line, the sales, in order to increase the bottom line or the profits or the cash flow. Right? And it seems counterintuitive. How can I... My CPA didn't tell me to decrease my sales and increase my profits, Jack. He told me to increase my sales and decrease my expenses to increase profits. But you're telling me to decrease my sales to increase my profits.
That's right.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, well, you gotta
wait a minute.
You gotta knock out expenses right along with that. And if you do...
Well, because what's happening is with bad...
You're going to make profit.
Well, with bad customers, you often are losing money on those bad customers.
That's right. That's correct.
But the challenge is twofold. One is most owners of small companies that we know are not as facile with the numbers. They aren't using the numbers as much.
What word is
that? Financials. Facile.
Facile?
Facile. F-A-C-I-L-E, Jack.
Wow. That goes up to the top 10 board. A fancy pants word.
Fancy pants. It's only two syllables.
That's all right. They don't have to have a lot of syllables.
Wait, you're
syllables
the,
to be.
You used like a four or five letter or four or five syllable word earlier today, Jack.
Today?
Yeah.
Where?
Persnickety. You use.
Oh, persnickety.
Yes.
That's right. That's one of those 1930-40 terms. I don't know why it came to mind.
That's how they described you as a toddler.
It really
right?
is.
That
it really is fancy pants, isn't it?
Right.
Okay.
So anyway, so not as many owners are as comfortable with the numbers, where they're as fluid, they're used to looking at the numbers or looking at stuff that way. Or they may not have enough good data. Even if they are good with the numbers, maybe their information that they're getting doesn't give them a clear picture where I can see. Here's all the sales coming from this customer. Here's really all the true expenses going to that customer. And here's the money we're making or we're not making. That's how you can reduce sales and increase profits. Again, if you're if you have a customer that's $100,000 in sales for you, but you're losing $20,000 a year on them, well, hey, you can...
I want to get more of those, right?
that's right. If you're profiling your customers, looking at what defines a good customer. So you may look as you go through your list of your customers and realize, hey, my customer who's number 12 in terms of, you know, sales volume or in terms of sales dollars might be my number one customer not because of the sales, because of maybe some profits or they're easy to work with. There's different things you might define in terms of what makes them a good customer, right? Maybe they pay real well. Maybe, you know, depending who you talk to within a company, you know, if you talk to somebody who's in the accounting department, if you have a customer who pays in 5 days, they never have to make any phone calls to that person. That's probably one of their favorite customers.
That's right.
Even though they may be customer number 127 on your list in terms of size, but from the accounting standpoint, it's like, these guys are great. They send things out. They send checks back in. I never talked to them. They're easy. Whereas that number one customer you got who's all, okay, well, what a pain in the butt they are. I have to put my invoices this way or do POs that way. I got to make sure I get it into their system here. And if I don't get it by X date, they're cutting all kinds of pain in the butt things to do. All of a sudden, I'm spending untold hours. That, guess what? That's not being factored into the fact that, you know, this is a cost of doing business with this customer.
Unless you can negotiate with this customer to basically get rid of the irritants that you have. Or be aware, he might be or she might be negotiating with you, trying to get you irritated so that they can get something in return. Not too cognizant of the win-win situation. They're just setting you up by complaining, by whining, and they're looking to pacify you any way they can sometimes rather than get rid of you.
Right.
So if you don't, you know, well, there are a lot of thought trains here that... take us off negotiations.
That's okay, but you know, much like we discussed when it comes to the vendors, and when you have a new relationship coming in, that's often where, again, you know, things feel pretty good. So with you, bringing on a new customer, same kind of thing, where you're going to feel pretty good about that person coming in, and if you got a sales team there, the sales team wants to close the deal. There's a pressure. Come on, let's get the deal closed. Come on, let's go. But it's key for you as you're bringing them on to make sure you do negotiate with those things that are important to you. So if you don't know, what are the three or four or five key factors for you that make a good customer? Those are things you care about. And those are the three or four or five things that you're going to want to be certain to negotiate. Now, there may be a couple of those that are key to that customer of yours as well, but they may have two or three other things that you don't really care much about but are important to them. So it's being able to do a little bit of that horse trading, you know, when things kind of go around. In terms of some of the house, I wanted to touch on this. We've done a little bit about this, Jack. You mentioned the whole idea of kind of, you know, the whole win-win thing. One of the best phrases you ever want to hear somebody tell you, Jack, from the other side of the table, it's three words. Split the difference.
Oh, yes. That's a good one.
You like that one? Why?
That's a Roger Dawson tip as well.
Why do you like that one, Jack?
So whenever you hear split the difference, you have an opportunity here to not split the difference. So we say, okay, here's $1,000 left on the table. We want to. So Adam says to me, let's split the difference, Jack. So I hem and haw a little bit, rub my chin, and say, you know, Adam, I know you got this plane flight here in a half hour. You know, it's going to be a rough. But I honestly just don't think splitting the difference is the right way. I think something more along the lines of 80-20 would be better. It's called nibbling, and there's lots of little techniques around that. But that's one where I know enough about you where I know you're going to say, hey, I'll give it to you, Jack. So I made a few bucks by doing that. By doing what? By nibbling.
Nibbling. There's that food thing again, Jack.
That's right.
See? The good news is, Jack, we got less than a minute to go on the show, and we've made it to the end, so you can eat
one
after
time.
We get out of here, right? Which
okay.
is good. So tonight's show is about negotiating. We hope you learned something again. As we said, we couldn't cover quite everything. We covered quite a bit, though. So hopefully you found this very, very helpful, and we really appreciate you joining us here on this week's edition of Dirty Secrets of Small Business. We invite you to tune in every Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern, to hear us. If you want to get a hold of us in between, a couple ways to do that. One is you can email us, radio@maximumvp.com, or give us a call, 877-849-0670. If you miss any of this show or our prior shows, you can go get us on iTunes and subscribe to our podcast there. You can go to our website, MaximumVP.com. There's a radio show tab there. You can go on there and get the show as well. If you subscribe, please leave a review. That would be great. Hey, learn more Dirty Secrets of Small Business next Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern. Thanks for listening on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTRadio.com.